have a feeling this is going to be an absolutely awesome return episode, Rob, because, well, several things. One, I've just got to the studio and decided immediately to move everything and set up as I am now. I've taken a photo of what I've done. I'll put it on my Twitter account, Mellis Reviews on Twitter, if people want to check this out. But I'll put a photo of this setup, this very hastily put together setup. But I'm using the Insta360 camera, which is what I'm looking into now. This tiny little camera in front of me, massive key light. I've decided to just ditch the 14-inch MacBook Pro, the 4.5 grand MacBook Pro that I bought for this purpose, because it, for some reason, doesn't work with this mic. So the M2 Pro Mac Mini is driving everything now. So, and I'm totally unprepared, haven't looked at the show notes or anything at all. So there's that, and there's also the fact that, from the sounds of it, you're not in the best of health, are you?
No. Well, we're already late because I had to bail last week because I literally lost my voice. And, well, you can hear it. I'm still not 100%.
I'll have to do most of the talking, won't I, from the sounds of it, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I apologise in advance if I cough in your ear.
Don't worry. At least you're not in this room. It's been 3 weeks, though, hasn't it? Is it 3 weeks?
It has, and you've been on all sorts of adventures, so it works out quite well that I can't really speak, because you've got lots of tales to tell. You've been all over the place.
Yeah, what's happened? So we haven't spoken since I've been to Barcelona, have we?
Correct.
That's crazy. Yeah, that feels like ages ago. Yeah, so I went to MWC, which is the Mobile World Congress, in Barcelona for the first time. Went there with Honor. I feel like I'm a bit low down here. If you're watching this on YouTube, I can only apologise. Although I can move this camera down, can't I? I think. Oh, who cares? So MWC, that was... When was that? Mid-February, I think it was. Did you catch anything from that in terms of the stuff that came out of it?
Not really. I know the old Samsung had a display with the Galaxy Rings out. That's about as much as I can remember from MWC.
Yeah, they did have the rings out, but you couldn't touch the ring. Although there was a secret behind the scenes thing which our friend Ben went to, which sounded interesting because he asked quite a few questions which they couldn't answer. I don't think I can say what they were because it was all behind the scenes, but it sounds very much like it's not quite ready for public consumption yet, from what he was saying. That was there. There wasn't, I mean, what again, it feels so long ago. There wasn't anything absolutely amazing to report from that, really. There was the foldable, bendable phone from Lenovo, or Motorola, sorry, which kind of bends around your arm. That was just a concept, which was interesting. The thing that really took off for me, completely unexpectedly and slightly frustratingly, was the see-through laptop. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
It's this...
So you didn't see it?
No, I did see it, yeah. I literally just got my phone out and just shot a bit of footage walking around. It didn't talk, didn't do anything at all. Didn't think anything of it, published it on Instagram and TikTok, and within, I think, 3 or 4 days on Instagram, it had done 1.1 million views. It's by far the biggest video I've ever had on short form content. And when you spend days making videos that get a fraction of that, slightly frustrating when you've just whipped your phone out. And anyway, that's just a small gripe. That was marginally interesting, although that was just a concept again. It's just a laptop with a see-through display. Everything's see-through, isn't it? See-through TVs, see-through laptops. I don't know why. No idea why. That was it. To be fair, I was only at the show for one day because I was doing other stuff while I was there. And that was enough, though, really, just to get a feel for what was going on. It was lots of new phones. There was the Xiaomi car, which looks suspiciously like a BYD seal, because I think it is exactly that. Yeah, that was it, really. So that was MWC. We've done that. Apple HQ, I went there, didn't I? Was that last week?
You did, yes.
I did. That was good fun. Have you seen the videos from it?
I haven't, because I've been just in rocking bed. In a corner and dribbling. Yeah, no, I'm well out of the loop. So I'm not up on my tech news at all. But although I do know that Tom, the tech chap's your cameraman now.
Yeah, well, I had to bring him down a peg or two, to be honest. It's about time, really, isn't it, that he does something for me? Yeah, that was a weird moment. That was a really strange moment. So I keep bumping into him. Most events I've been to, he's been there because he goes to everything. And quite often we're in the same sort of crowd because he's with Honor or he's with, you know, Huawei or whoever I'm out there with. And in Vegas as well, I was in the same room as him quite a bit, but we never really kind of bumped into each other to speak. I've never wanted to bother him, really, but this time it was completely unavoidable because there was a small group of us, I think about four or five of us, who were invited to Apple HQ. They were doing this in groups, but the other groups were quite big. Ours was quite small for some reason. And yeah, it was myself, three other journalists, and Tom, basically. And this was to go and check out the new M3 MacBook Air. And I finally said to him, look, we keep being in the same room, but we've never properly spoken or shook hands and all the rest of it. So yeah, I had a good chat with him. And there was a moment when he was trying to film a MacBook Air running a game, and he was kind of struggling trying to, you know, use the controller at the same time as filming. And I said to him, look, do you want me to just quickly play it for you so you can get some footage? He was like, oh, fantastic, go for it. So I did that, and then he said, do you want me to do the same thing for you? I was like, yeah, okay, why not? And I had that moment, you know, when you're doing something and you think, this is weird. So I was sort of standing there with this controller playing this racing game, and I had Tom, tech chap, opposite me with my camera filming me. And it was that moment where I just thought, how has this happened? You know, this guy that I've watched for a long, long time, we both know this, he's an old-timer, an old hand at this. He's a huge channel, very good at what he does. And I watched him a lot leading up to starting the channel. So to have him doing that, it was very weird. It only lasted a few seconds. I think we used his footage. Did we use it? I think we did. I think it was good enough. But no, it was great. Nice guy. And yeah, it was a nice opportunity to go and see Apple again. The other thing that was really interesting, though, are you aware of Byte Review, Tom, the other Tom?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a very distinctive channel. He's a designer by trade, but if anyone who's watching or listening to this goes and checks out Byte Review. What Apple had done that day, they apart from giving us a bit of a press briefing about the new MacBook Air, they had these rooms set up with people working in there, who have been using the MacBook Air for their jobs, and they had like a screenwriter and a custom bike manufacturer and a TikTok influencer and all these sort of people. But one of them was Tom from Byte Review, and it was literally like walking into his studio or like into one of his videos. They'd set up a mini version of his studio. They'd recreated it in this room, and he was sat there like that, and he was kind of telling us how he's using his MacBook Air to run his YouTube channel, which was very, very nice to see. It was a very weird day, that.
How did you black that, then? Like, you're mates with Apple now.
It's about mates, but this all stems from, how long ago was this? 18 months ago, I think. I don't know if you remember. They got in touch about a video that I made. It was a review of the M2 MacBook Pro, which wasn't a very good review for them. They just caught wind of it, basically, and got in touch and said, can we have a chat about it? Can you tell us a bit more about your testing so we can look into it for you? It's kind of gone from there, really. So it's the Mac team, the UK Mac team, that I've got contact with there.
So this is the first like Mac review unit you've had from Apple?
No, I've had a couple, but this is the first embargoed one. So the stuff I've had previously has been already been released. This was a first ever embargo.
Well, that's pretty huge, isn't it?
Massive, yeah, really exciting, to be honest. And it was a bit of a frantic week because the news came out of nowhere. I think everyone's been expecting, and they're still waiting for the new iPads to arrive, and they just haven't turned up at all. So I, when they contacted me at first, I thought it might be the iPad, but no, it was the new M3 MacBook Air. But it was a busy week, and I went to see BMW that week as well.
And LG, didn't you?
And LG, yeah. LG was earlier that week. That was their new TV lineup, which was interesting. Should be getting that into review. Hopefully one of them into review. And BMW
what's that,
was
like G4, is it?
The G, yeah, the G. Well, I'm not sure which one it will be because they've got obviously quite a big range, quite a big new range, and it's going to be a case of whatever is available really to review. But hopefully the G series here.
Yeah, well, there's some stonking deals on the G2 from 2022, which is still a fantastic television. And they were like $3,000 when they came out. You can pick them up for about £1,400. You go to your Richard Sounds or your John Lewis. I was quite tempted. That's for a 65-inch. 65-inch.
That's not bad at all, is it? I mean, they're great TVs.
Wow. The only thing about the G line is that... Is it the G line or the C line? I can't remember. One of them, that doesn't come with a stand, does it? You can only wall mount it.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware. Okay.
And so I think that's why I didn't get one in the end. Also, I'm planning on building a media wall in my lounge. I think I might just get a motorized, I forget what the terminology is, you know, like the high reflectivity screen thingy.
Yep, I know what you mean.
Just
yep.
Not bother with a telly at all. Get one of those... what's the really cool, like 4K supports all the Dolbies and everything. There's like X Gimme or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
X Gimme. Yeah.
You're familiar with the projector I'm talking about? It's like a 4K projector.
Is it CES?
And it looks really good. So yeah, so I'm stumming and ahhing. Anyways, I don't know. We've gone off track there. I recently saw a good deal on the on two generations old LG OLEDs. Was vaguely tempted, decided not to.
Yeah, they look like nice. I've never had an LG TV, although during this press day they were making quite a big thing about the fact that all major Hollywood studios use LG TVs as their consumer reference monitors. That's a big thing for them. And they gave us all the demos that you'd expect, you know, the new black levels, the new AI stuff that's built into all the stuff going on. But I reserve judgment until I get one and look at it from a regular human's point of view.
So you don't currently have an OLED telly, do you? Your one at home is... I forget what... Is it
Hisense.
No. You got Hisense at home. The one in the studio is also a Hisense, and that's...
It is.
LCD as well, isn't it?
It's micro. Is it micro LED, that one?
Micro LED.
Never owned an OLED, ever.
I think you'll get a kick out of that.
I should.
If they're sending you an OLED.
Fingers crossed.
What? Where did you go? Like their HQ?
Yeah, so down in Weybridge, which is a relatively unremarkable place. Nothing against Weybridge. If anyone's listening to this who lives in Weybridge, apologies, but. It was quite an annoying place to get to as well when you live where I do. It's kind of west of the M25, well, North Circular. It was a good day. It was a good week, that, to be honest. It was a very busy week. It's slightly frustrating. I'm not moaning at all, I am moaning, but it's slightly frustrating when all these things come at once and you have to pack them all into one week and then decide what to do with the content afterwards. I do have Niall now, so I've got a Niall, which does help, and he came with me to the BMW thing. So that was a big help.
You were hobnobbing with VBH.
I was. Did I mention that?
You must have done. I don't know how I would know that otherwise.
that would be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah, Vicky Butler-Henderson. That's one, I think, pretty much only the UK audience will know who Vicky Butler-Henderson is. For anyone who doesn't, she was on Fifth Gear, which was the Channel 5 competitor for Top Gear, wasn't it? Way back when. Is it still going, Fifth Gear? I don't think it is. Is it?
I don't think so.
I can't remember who else was on that. Who else presented with her? But she was one of the main presenters there. And she was sat just across from me at lunch. Recognised her instantly. And some guy from Love Island was there as well, because he's now a car reviewer. Obviously, because of course he is. That was good. So checked out the iX2, the BMW iX2, and the Mini Countryman, which I should be getting the Mini Countryman as a review unit, which sounds weird, but we should be getting one of those in a couple of weeks to check out. But yeah, what else in terms of stuff that I've done? Oh, Stephen Bartlett was reading my website, wasn't he?
Yeah, we should put a link to that. Yeah, you got like 2 seconds of screen time. He was just researching the Vision Pro on your website. Yeah. That's pretty wild.
He didn't quote me though, Rob. He didn't mention my name. He didn't really directly read. He was reading completely the wrong article as well, just to kind of put me in his place. So he was in LA or something, and I think he decided to go and buy Vision Pro, and he went to do some research on what he needed to do. So he sits down with his phone, and I don't know how I spotted it, because it's only there for 2 seconds, but there was a shot of him like over his shoulder with his phone, kind of going through a website and saying to himself something like, okay, buying Vision Pro in the US. I just looked at it and thought, that looks familiar. So paused it, zoomed in, and it was markellisreviews.com. The problem was he was reading the guidance that I wrote for if you want to buy Vision Pro in the UK and bring it across from the US. He was in the US, so that was a totally wrong piece of research on his behalf. But yeah, there you go. SEO's working, Rob. That's the main thing. Sort of.
And you got a bunch of cool new stuff. So you're currently wearing the Garmin Mark Carbon.
Yeah. This is, for anyone who doesn't know, I didn't know until recently because Pete Matheson's got one. I spotted he had one at MWC and said, right, I need to get one of those. So for anyone who doesn't know, the Mark, as in M-A-R-Q, is kind of, I think they call it their luxury range or something, Garmin. It's their most expensive range, and they've got the Golfer, the Athlete, and the Commander, and I've got the Commander because it's the most expensive one, obviously. And to give you an idea what this watch is,
how expensive?
£2,799, I think. I haven't bought it, by the way. This is a review unit. It's been sent to me. It will have to go back at some stage. To give you an idea of is it worth it?
£799.
On the face of it, possibly not, until you go into the list of activities. So normally if you go into a list of activities on a smartwatch, you get running, walking, you know, elliptical, all that stuff. This starts with tactical, then jump master, which apparently calculates the best place to jump out of your helicopter next, which is handy in Warwick. Track me, project waypoint, reference point, applied ballistics. Still haven't got to running yet, so I have to go through all this. Oh, fly is before run. Eventually then you get to the normal stuff. It's got a kill switch, so if you get yourself in trouble, you can just press a button and it wipes everything for you. It's got a mode that turns everything green, so you can read it more easily with your night vision goggles. Does that make it worth 2000? I think it's possibly for people who haven't been in the military but have got way too much money and want to pretend they've been in the military, or they want people to think they were or are in the military. That's my guess.
Right.
Nice watch though. I've got to review it somehow. That's going to be interesting.
Well, jump out of a helicopter, obviously.
Maybe.
Oh, like Tom Scott, who's retired recently, isn't he?
Remind me who Tom Scott is. The UK guy.
The UK, the UK YouTuber stuff. Well, I don't think he's gone, but he's, you know, for 10 years, he released videos on a regular schedule, and he was just like, you know what, it's too much. But yeah, on his farewell video, he strapped himself to a helicopter and flew off into the sunset.
I've not seen that. I've not watched his stuff. He's one of the many YouTube quitters, isn't he? The guys who's kind of just stopped.
Yeah. So yeah. So what else have you got? You got the. Have you tried the smart glasses yet? The metal Ray-Ban smart glasses.
I love them. They're brilliant. Have you tried a pair? Have you seen them?
Well,
in the flesh?
I was interested in the first set, wasn't I?
But I remember.
They sort of dicked me about with my prescription and stuff. So no, I would absolutely have a pair if it weren't for my stupid mole eyes.
They are brilliant. I bought them on a bit of a whim. Bought them, yeah. They weren't sent to me, Rob, no. No, I had to buy these. Mainly because Patrick Rambles bought them, and I tend to do everything he does. But also because I was just fascinated. I think I remember you speaking about the first version, I was just fascinated. Now that I'm a seasoned spatial computing expert, thanks to Vision Pro, I thought, well, let's try something else along those lines. It's not spatial computing, obviously, but I thought I'd give them a go. And they're just brilliant. They're so easy to use. I think from my perspective, just the ability just to shoot 60 seconds vertical video that looks really good. And sounds really good. I've put a few reels on Instagram that people have said, did you record the audio separately with these? The mic is fantastic. And using them as a pair of headphones as well. That's another thing that you don't quite realize until you get them. Stick them on, listen to a podcast. It feels like the podcast is in your head. It's really weird. And they don't bleed too much sound either for the people around you. And they just look like a pair of nice glasses. I love Ray-Bans. I got the Wayfarer version. And yes, they have cameras in them, which is a bit weird. But, it's what they're all about. But you can get away with wearing them normally because they just look like a pair of sunglasses. They've got 4 hours battery life. You get several other charges with the charging case. That's very cool. The case is like a charging case. It's great. I'm really impressed with them. I can't wait. We're going on holiday in a couple of months. I'm really looking forward to taking it there and capturing stuff with the family and what have you.
Yeah. No, I think it's a brilliant product. Is that your first Meta product?
It is. Well spotted. It's my first Meta product.
What did you think of the overall, the sort of presentation, the onboarding, the overall user experience?
It's really straightforward. I mean, there wasn't much to speak of, really. It's all driven by the app. I think what I like about it, they're so convenient to use. So when you finished shooting stuff, you just open the app, it recognizes the glasses, obviously they're connected via Bluetooth, and it just pulls off the footage. And I think it does dump it from the glasses, so you don't have to manage storage. You just open the app, dump off what you've got, that goes into your camera roll, you can do with it as you please, and just start fresh again. That, for me, that's really, really enjoyable to use, because if you're used to kind of messing around with media and all this sort of stuff, it's a pain in the backside. But I used them on the BMW day, actually. I did a little thing where I kind of got into the car and just very quickly stuck that up on Instagram later that night, and it's performed really well. And it's just people like that sort of stuff because it gives you that first person view of what you're doing. It's a nice little addition to what I'm doing.
Reason I was asking, sort of what I was getting at, is that see, I've used several Meta products because I've had the Portal TVs, I had a the standalone sort of smart speaker thingy, the Portal Plus, I think it was, and obviously got the Meta Quest. They make really good stuff.
They do.
Like it's from the moment you get the box out of the, they're just really well thought out, really nicely presented, really slick products. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else they come up with.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. It's a very, very good product. I feel like I've missed out on Meta stuff now because, like you say, they do lots of other stuff that you keep telling me to check out and I don't. So maybe this will be the catalyst to get me to do that. Talking of other cool stuff, the Nothing Phone 2A.
Oh, is this another self-funded, or are you friends with Carl now?
I'm not friends with Carl. I do speak to Nothing, but we're struggling to get anything out of them. But self-funded. But this is it. Have you got any immediate thoughts on it? I assume you haven't got one, you haven't tried it. Very smudgy, as you can see.
I think it's a stroke of genius. Really, it gives you the Nothing experience for not very much money at all. How much are they? Like 300 quid?
319 quid this was. This is the 8 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage one. If you go up to the 12 gig of RAM and 512 storage, is it? Or 250, whatever it is. The one up from that is 349 quid. So it's still well below 400. But 319 for the base model, which, to be honest, is absolutely fine. I don't think you need anything more than that. It's such a good phone. I wish I hadn't gone for the black version. I didn't, when I ordered it, I didn't pay any attention to the colour. No idea why. I just rushed it, basically. And the problem with the black version is, as you can see, it's very smudgy. But also, you can't really see the all the detail, all the stuff that makes this an interesting phone. You just can't see it unless you hold it up to a massive key light, which is a shame, but that's a small gripe. But apart from that, it's brilliant. Yeah, my review's on the channel now. And what's interesting, actually, with the review, the response to it, is that there's a lot of really nice comments in the comments section of people who are really, really interested in this phone and surprised by it, I think, as well. They're surprised how good it is. There are some downsides. I mean, one of them is the fact that the camera is good. It's good, but it's only really good at 1x. Ultra wide is okay. 2x is all right. That's digital, obviously. Beyond that, it's basically unusable. 5x, and you know, we're both 5x connoisseurs, aren't we, these days? But 5x and 10x, completely unusable. So you start to see where the concessions are made with that. But that's the only real concession, I think. IP54 water resistance is a bit lower than normal. No wireless charging, but it's got fast charging. It's got 45 watt fast charging. The chip, you know, MediaTek Dimensity isn't the latest Snapdragon, obviously, but you can't tell unless you start gaming on it, I suppose. But yeah, £319, what do you want from a phone? 120 hertz refresh rate. It looks, on the face of it, like an iPhone, from an iPhone 15 Pro Max, because of the rounded corners and the operating system doesn't, obviously, but I'm a big fan of it. It's a really good phone.
It's quite plasticky, isn't it? Isn't the body and the back is plastic rather than glass, is it not? I don't know, correct me if I'm
wrong. Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. So the kind of sides are this kind of matte finish, which actually feels all right. I don't mind that. It's almost like rubberized, nearly. But yeah, the rear is plastic. But again, £319. You can't complain.
It gives me iPhone 5C vibes. They should have called it the Nothing Phone 2C. Unashamedly plastic.
you're right with that, actually. It does have that, doesn't it? Like a really up-to-date version of it. So yeah, I think if anyone wants a budget phone, and if you don't care about iOS and all that stuff, and you're not too fussed about a really, 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 really good camera system, but one that just does the job. I mean, this passed the test when it came to taking photos of my dog and my kid.
So I lied when I said I hadn't watched it. I must have watched this because I remember seeing those photos. That yes, it does a better job than an S24 Ultra at capturing moving subjects indoors.
One of those photos was really tricky, if you think about it, because it was the one with the bubbles. So Harrison was kind of grasping out these bubbles coming off the side of the kitchen, and there were a few misses before that one kind of hit, but it's nailed his focus on his, and it also he's kind of you can't see his eyes head on. It's kind of a side shot, side on shot of him, but there's all these bubbles floating around, and he's moving, and it wasn't very light in that room either, quite dark environment. And it just nailed it. So, happy days. Well done, Carl.
Speaking of bubbles, I'm going to send you a picture.
Oh dear, what's this? Am I going to want to see this? Is this going to...
It's a photo. I don't know why I'm talking about this on the podcast. I should really take it offline. But just while we're talking about bubbles, check this out.
This
is a spectacular photo. I managed to capture a photo of my daughter. I think she would have been one then, literally touching a bubble.
That's amazing. What was that taken with?
That would have been iPhone 12, probably.
That's very impressive. And it's literally, you can see the point at which she's touched it. Yeah. That's amazing. Probably the best photo you'll ever take. You might as well just stop taking photos. you'll never better that.
Yeah. If I'm a bit better at streaming, I would quite happily share that on the stream, but I'm not. I'm just,
don't worry.
I can barely talk.
I'm surprised you're still going the way that you sound, to be honest. Hopefully I'm carrying you through. Right, Apple news. Let's bash through the Apple news, because it's... Well, we've talked about a lot of this already. So the M3 MacBook Air came out. I've reviewed it. Yada yada yada. It's a great, great machine. You know, if you want to buy a MacBook Air now, crikey, it's the best time to do it. They're amazing computers. Just spec them up a bit if you can. I think the the I don't know what you think about this, but I think the sweet spot is the 16 gig of unified memory, and if you can, the 1 terabyte, just to give you a bit of, you know, decent storage on the device, that will last you years, because they're brilliant.
Oh, no, I'm going to disagree with you there, because once you have specced up an M3 MacBook Air, particularly if you go for the 15-inch one, you are well into MacBook Pro territory, and you might as well get a MacBook Pro.
Yeah, but it's not a MacBook Air, is it? This is the thing, you see. MacBook Airs have got something about them. There's a thing about a MacBook Air that you don't get, I don't think, with the MacBook Pro. I know what you mean. That there is that price crossover.
What I'm getting at is, right, if you are the kind of user that cares about the, you know, you're thinking, well, I'm going to spec up the RAM, I'm going to spec up the storage because I want it to last a few years. You're not going to keep it that long, I don't think. You might as well just buy base spec, use it, enjoy it, and then when the M5 or the M6 or whatever comes out, you're going to want that. And so you could spend the same amount of money over that same 6-year period, say, more or less.
True.
But overall have a better experience. So, I mean, Apple, you know, clearly keeping an eye on things, they still feel that 8 gigabytes of RAM is sufficient for most users. And to be fair, it probably is. So, I mean, I nearly bought a 15-inch M3 MacBook Air the other day because I saw a misprice on Amazon. They'd on the silver color, they'd swapped the pricing for the 256 gig and the 512 gig model. So you could get a 15-inch 512 gig. Bearing in mind, with the 512 gig model, you also get the upgraded charger, not the full fat 70-watt one, but the 35-watt dual charger.
Yep.
And you get the full 10 GPU cores, because in the base spec model, they do a thing that, you know, like they used to do with the M1, where you get a slightly they put the binned chips in
the binned ones.
So, yeah, so for £1,299, I could have got a 500, you know, the step up on the 15-inch M3
bargain.
I mean, it is, but then I thought, I don't need it. The thing was, right, was that I was looking at it and I was about to hit the buy button, and I was doing it from my M1 MacBook Air. And I was just like,
why?
This is so good. Still, I know it's like, what, 4 years old now? It doesn't feel 4 years old. I know, like, the design is, you know, a bit long in the tooth. I quite like it, actually. I'm quite sad about the loss of the wedge shape. It's kind of iconic. And so, yeah, no, I think I'm going to keep my M1 MacBook Air until it dies, basically, because I love it.
We're going to have to, because they've killed it off. It's gone. It's not there anymore. It's you can't buy it. Well, you can buy it, but you can't buy it new. We've now got the M2, haven't we? The M2 base spec is the cheap,
which I don't think anyone buy. So one of the things about the M3s is that they've got 2 NAND chips for the storage again, haven't they? So
yep, they have.
There's no downside. So whereas you had to be careful about which M2 model you got, you don't, it's just not a concern. You get any of the M3 MacBook Airs, and it can drive 2 displays now, which is quite cool.
Yeah, but only with the lid closed.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think.
No,
I think if you open it, one of them just turns on. I don't know how it decides which one to turn off, but one of them turns off. But yeah, I mean, that is pretty cool. And also, for people who were wondering, because that was one of the biggest questions when we had the press briefing, what about the base model MacBook Pro that can't do that? As it turns out, that's getting a software update. It may even have had it by now to enable that as well.
Which is a bit cheeky, isn't it?
It's a bit weird, isn't it? Why wasn't it there to begin with?
So it could do it all along, but they decided not to. I guess they were waiting to see how many people sort of held back, because clearly there are a lot of people stuck on their Intel machines because those machines supported multiple displays. So hopefully that will get them on board with the Apple Silicon.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, but yeah, rest in peace, the M1 MacBook Air. We should have a minute of silence for that, really. There's a lot of talk about a new resurgence of the MacBook nothing. What did it used to be called? The one that, it was just called the MacBook, wasn't it? The the interesting but ultimately terrible MacBook that came out whenever it was it 2016, 15 or something like that, which introduced the butterfly keyboard and was a really really cool design, really really thin, but ultimately, you know, ruined by Intel and that keyboard. There is talk about that coming back, isn't there? I heard someone the other day said it could be called the MacBook SE, which I really like the sound of. And it could be priced at like, you know, $600-700 or dollars. That would be interesting.
So you just reminded me actually that, you know, through alternative channels like the Apple Refurb Store and, you know, third-party retailers, you can get M1 MacBook Airs for about $700.
Yep.
I don't think that M3 is worth the extra. I really don't.
I suppose it's a newer machine, isn't it? By a few years, but yeah, that was such. I mean, thankfully, mine is still being used. I love the fact that Jen's now using it for her studies, and she doesn't care about tech, as I've said before, but she loves that thing. When we thought the battery had died, her first reaction was it was panic. It was, am I going to have to give it up? I said, no, don't worry, we'll get it sorted. But she was genuinely panicked. I've never seen her like that about a piece of technology. So even she's fallen in love with it, and she could not care less, which says it all, I think, really. Rob, there's quite a bit of news here from you. How capable are you of getting through this list?
Oh, I reckon I can do it. It won't sound pleasant, but I can do it. So, well, do it. I mean, it's not really news. What I've listed out is all of the stuff that I can't talk about because it hasn't turned up yet. So, I mean, my current situation is that I'm just waiting for stuff to come out. So, I pre-ordered the Rabbit R1, you know, the cool little sort of AI large action model assistant that should actually, you know, do stuff for you. That is not going to be out until later in the year. I pre-ordered Mr. Mobile's silly keyboard case. Did you reach out to them to see if you like one?
I should be able to get one because we have a mutual contact now, obviously. At some stage, I will. Yeah. You'll probably get it before me, though. To be fair.
We
should also say it's not called the silly keyboard case.
It's called the Clicks. It's called the Clicks keyboard case, which Clicks. is a case for an iPhone that gives you a physical keyboard at the bottom. And I can't decide whether it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen or absolute genius. So I've got.
Well, it makes your iPhone the length of the M6, doesn't it?
So they emailed recently actually to say that things are moving and I should have it by the end of April. So that's on its way. I ordered some prescription lens inserts for my MetaQuest from Rel Optics.
Nice.
And that they just emailed recently to say, we've just got around, you know, you're up next. They've got quite a long lead time, and obviously I've got a ridiculous prescription, and it takes them quite a while. So I ordered it several weeks ago. They've just said, right, you know, we're gonna make them. Expect it in the next few weeks. And then there's, you know, so that's sort of on the hardware side. And then I backed a project on Kickstarter from Icon Factory. You're familiar with Icon Factory? It's an old school Mac developer. They were responsible for Twitterific back in the day. Candy Bar. Did you ever use Candy Bar back in the day?
Candy Bar
was an app that let you easily swap out icons so that you could like theme your Mac OS setup. You never got involved with that. Nice. So it basically enables you to change.
Never got involved, unfortunately.
Change the icons, and you know, that was quite cool. So I mean, the thing about Icon Factory is that everything they do is just beautifully designed. They everything they do looks amazing and is a joy to use. They have announced a new concept, which is currently called Project Tapestry, which is, it's kind of like Beeper, but for the whole internet. So if you imagine that you've got all sorts, so you like to get information from all sorts of places. You might have like RSS feeds, you might have particular websites you like to view. And they are working on a sort of really customizable, really extensible app that pulls everything into like one unified timeline, a bit like how Hub used to be on Windows Mobile, or BlackBerry Hub, actually. If you ever had a BlackBerry, do you remember the BlackBerry Hub?
Rings a bell.
So those are two yeah. previous rings attempts at this, which sort of try to bring everything into chronological order. So you just have one big feed of all of your stuff that you would normally go to multiple places to read, put it all into one place. And the main reason I supported it is not just because I love everything that Icon Factory do. I mean, apart from like sort of delivering really good apps over the years, they're primarily a design house, and they've designed the icons for some of the most beloved apps ever made. So like the Fantastical app, they designed the logo for that.
Yep.
Else did they do? Apollo, they designed the logo for the Apollo Reddit client. And they work with massive clients like Lego and all sorts. So anyway, Icon Factory, great outfit, lovely people. I was quite happy to give them their money. But mostly because if you pre-ordered it, they will do you a pixel art avatar. So you send them a photo as a backer, and someone from the Icon Factory will draw you. So I had to. It'd be rude not to, wouldn't it? I mean, it's closed now.
Of course, you have to.
Unfortunately,
that, yeah.
This would have been something I could have brought up last time had I not, been suffering with full blown AIDS. But so watch out for that. I'll put a link in the show notes. But it's a fascinating concept, and I think it will work because Icon Factory stuff is generally good. In terms of things, updates from my side. For things that I actually have, I don't think we've talked about my experience with the M2 Pro Mac Mini, have we?
We haven't, no.
So, we talked about my decision-making process, and I drew a big spreadsheet, and I was like, well, do I want an M1 Mac Studio? Do I want, the mythical M3 Mac Mini, which still doesn't exist? And I sort of looked at all of the specs and arrived at some sort of value metric, determined that a refurbished M2 Pro Mac Mini was the way forward. It doesn't feel any different. I can't tell the difference between my M1 Mac Mini and the M2 Pro, but that's because I don't do anything that requires all of the extra cores and all of that sort of stuff. It's good to know that it's there. Looking at my iStat menus, right, what I can see is that I've got a lot more headroom. So where I would be hovering at sort of maybe like 50% for your CPU, GPU, memory usage, whatever on the M1, I'm using like 10-15% of the available resources on this M2 Pro. So this should see me through for a good while until they bring out a facelifted one.
Yeah, but when's that going to happen? I can't see that happening for a long time. But it's an amazing machine, isn't it? I mean, I'm on mine now, and same as you, I've got iStat menus running, and it's just barely on. Basically,
oh yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, I'm running OBS, I'm running Audio Hijack, I've got Chrome running to do this StreamYard thingy. I've got Notion. There's a bunch of stuff running up in the menu, and it's just not.
It just doesn't care, does it? I mean, I've pushed mine a little bit with some of the 4K editing and those music production tests. Do you remember those when I did? I kind of did all that stuff in Logic Pro, and I mean, those tests could have been a little bit more vigorous because it was a lot of kind of just copying and pasting tracks and things, and not having a huge amount going on them. But even having said that, I think I ended up with hundreds of tracks of audio and soft synths and things and plugins and. It took forever to kill it, and it didn't even really die towards the end. It was just kind of stuttering a little bit. This Mac Mini will last forever. It's like a diesel car, isn't it? That's done. It will get to 250,000 miles and still be chugging along. Which is like every taxi in the UK.
What it does enable me to do is permanently have a Windows 11. Virtual machine running in the background, which does help with my current using an Android phone as my daily driver.
Yeah.
Although, before we get on to that, the silliest thing that I've done on the M2 Pro is run Stray on it.
Okay.
It's a very quiet the recent cat game. Title. It's the cat game, yeah. So that came out in 2022. I don't think it's a massively graphically demanding game. I've got it hooked up to my 40-inch 5K 2K display. Obviously, it can't run it at that. But
no.
I forget what the resolution was, but I had everything cranked up and maybe like 1080p, but on the 21:9 aspect ratio. And to my eyes, it was doing 60 frames per second, wasn't dropping or skipping or anything, which is nice. Pretty wild. I don't know that you would get that experience on every Apple Silicon Mac, because obviously the thing about the M2 Pro is it's got a bunch of GPU horsepower that I really don't need, but it does run games that are optimized for Apple Silicon quite well, it turns out. So I think it's got like a metal score on Geekbench of like 70,000 or something, which is ludicrous.
Well, they do keep telling us, don't they, that these are proper gaming machines, so I should check that out as well, really. Yeah, no, it's brilliant.
I think there's an Apple Silicon optimized Death Stranding. I might give that a go.
Yeah, you should do.
Yeah. So anyway,
funnily enough, I will be doing that because Apple have given me a code for that. You've reminded me. I need to do a little test of that.
Nice.
Are you still using your Magic V2? Have you gone back to the iPhone yet?
No. It's still here. Ooh. Make sure I'm not giving away any secrets. Yeah. No. It's I still love it. Right. The honeymoon period is over. So I've largely managed to shoehorn it into my mostly Apple life. So I'm using Blue Bubbles. For iMessage, okay. You know, which is fine. It's a bit of a faff to set up, but it's completely end-to-end encrypted, and it's a locally hosted solution. So I'm not having to hand over my iCloud credentials to a third party. I'm running a server on this M2 Pro Mac Mini, and it's just forwarding the messages to a client on the phone. Works great. For sort of cross-platform messaging, I'm using Beeper. So I've got just all of the messaging going through that, with the exception of iMessage, because it doesn't support iMessage anymore. For universal copy and paste, I'm using an app called KDE Connect, which I don't know if you've heard of. That involves running a client on the machine that you want to share with, and it just means that I can copy something on the phone, paste it on the Mac, or I can copy something on the Mac, paste it on the phone. With some caveats. So going from the Mac to the phone is fine. You know, you can copy something and you can paste it straight onto the phone. If you want to copy from the phone to the Mac, you've got to jump through some hoops because there are sort of OS level restrictions.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not just a, highlight, copy, and then it's in the clipboard. You have to go into the KDE Connect app and say, right, push the clipboard to the other machine, which is a bit of a faff, and it's getting annoying. And I think we discussed before that with this, with the giant sort of nearly 8-inch display in the middle, it actually makes doing remote desktop feasible. Hmm. So I use Chrome remote desktop to remote into my virtual Windows 11 machine or Mac OS, and it works great.
Nice.
However, I don't know where it is. It's in my crap gadget drawer. Right. The thing about this display, right?
Yep.
Is that it's I don't know what the actual aspect ratio is, but it's 4:3 roughly. So if you watch 16:9 content on it, it's got the black
big
bars,
borders.
Right? Now look at this. Here's the S24 Ultra. It's actually bigger.
Okay.
For everyday YouTube, and you see,
slightly wider.
So
okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Are you gonna go to the S24 Ultra? Or are you gonna?
I might. Yeah, because given that I've gone to the effort of shoehorning in Android into a mostly Apple setup. Oh, the other thing is I switched over to a Chromecast so that I can control it from my phone, because there is literally no way of controlling an Apple TV from an Android phone. No. initially it was all right. I kind of thought, yeah, this works, it's fine. It's not as good as Apple TV. There's something about the picture quality on Apple TV. I don't know why everything looks so good. Oh, that's another thing. You can't get Apple TV Plus on Magic OS for some reason. It's not
supported. Okay, not.
No. Oh, that's interesting. Actually, well, we're on the list of annoyances. So obviously you went off to MWC and you saw the the Magic 6 Pro, lovely device, ships with Magic OS 8.
Yes.
I can't get Magic OS on this. Yeah, Magic OS 8. Why not?
Okay. Okay. You probably will at some stage. I don't know why not.
It's going to be like July or something, and I'll be bored of it by then. So
to be fair, Magic OS 8 on the Magic 6 Pro, a lot of the stuff is missing. A lot of the AI stuff. I think they've just released it, I think. But you're not missing out on much, basically.
What I'm hoping is that they've ironed out some of the bugs. It's quite buggy. Like Bluetooth is a bit sketchy. But listening is fine, but the two-way audio just doesn't work. So yeah, if you try it, which is ironic given that they're part of their promotion, their launch promotion was to send you a Bang & Olufsen headset, which that's on my list of stuff that hasn't arrived yet. That still hasn't turned up, so I don't know. That might be great. Who knows? I've had a lot of trouble trying to use this for work calls with a Bluetooth headset. So yeah. So anyway,
the honeymoon period is over. You've hit the 7-year itch quite early.
Yeah. So as a thing to hold and play with and look at, it's marvelous. It really is a superb device. I think it is held back not by Android necessarily, but by Magic OS. I think it's hamstrung. And then just the fact that I realized whilst watching a YouTube video that was in 16:9 aspect ratio that I would have had a better experience if I'd used the S24, which has that beautiful anti-reflective display. It's the best display out there at the moment, I think, the S24 Ultra.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So I'm torn because I hate the camera on the S24 Ultra. That's the point. When you saw the Honor guys, did you show them those photos I took on my Magic V2?
No, I didn't. I completely forgot. Sorry, I should
have. It genuinely delivers some good photos.
I'll try and remember next time I see them.
It's nowhere near as good as the S24 Ultra's camera at its best. But it's so inconsistent. I can't. It winds me up. So yeah, I might go back to the S24 Ultra, given that I've gone to all of this trouble of shoehorning in
getting out of the iPhone. But I'm still impressed that you're not going back to the iPhone. I think that's impressive.
Even know where my iPhone is. I'm not like just saying that. I have not picked up my iPhone since I got the Magic V2.
Don't look for it. Don't go looking for it. On the subject of swapping things, I'm not missing my Apple Watch Ultra at all. Really not. Since I've got my military watch, and it's not just because it makes me feel like I'm a paratrooper. I genuinely don't miss it one bit. And I wrote about this in the week. I think, depending on how long they let me have this for, I'm willing to just ditch it completely for a bit, for as long as possible, and not go back to it. There's nothing really that I miss. Even the only thing that's slightly annoying is unlocking this Mac because it hasn't got Touch ID. I have to put the password in now rather than using my Apple Watch to unlock it and authenticate stuff. But I can live without that. It hasn't really slowed me down. Yeah, I've it surprised me.
So what
we're changing, Rob.
What are you going to do? Wear an analog watch?
Well, I'll see how long I can keep this. I can't keep this for very long, I'll get myself a Garmin, my own. The only annoying thing, actually, which is worth mentioning, is the fact that when you do, if you go for a run, if you track a run with this, it doesn't sync with Apple Health until you go into the Garmin Connect app on your phone, and then it does it because there's no API for doing it automatically. That's annoying because that obviously then syncs up with my Whoop. So I've had several days recently where I've been for a run or I've done something active, and because I haven't gone into the Garmin Connect app, it hasn't updated Whoop with the stuff from Apple Health. that's annoying because I'm living by Whoop now in terms of what I should do with my life. But again, it's something. It's a workaround. I think, as you've discovered, there's workarounds that you have to implement for everything if you're willing just to step outside of the Apple ecosystem a little bit.
Yeah, you've just reminded me of something, right? I'm having an okay time in Android land, but I do feel like I've gone back in time because I've gone back to a traditional going into apps to do stuff way of working. And as you recall, my iPhone setup was completely different. It sort of moved beyond that. Mm-hmm. So I have no app icons on my home screen at all. I just have widgets and I have shortcuts. And that pretty much enables me to do most things that I need to do without ever opening an app. I can see the information that I want. I can tick the thing off the to-do list. I can see my upcoming schedule without ever going into an app. The widget support is just nowhere near there. The automation is nowhere near. The reason I'm excited about things like the Rabbit R1, and you know, and there seems to be a theme that's going across the tech space, is going beyond picking up your phone and, you know, tapping on apps to do stuff. You know, like your smart glasses and your Vision Pros and your Rabbit R1s and your Humane AI pin. I think the sort of tech space is trying to move beyond that. And so to go back to that primarily, have a home screen that's just full of apps, and then you go into one app at a time and you do this, you do that. Well, you know, to be fair, with the foldy display, it is quite cool having two apps side by side, which you can do because the internal display is effectively like having two of the front display. I don't know that offsets how much more productive I am on iOS. So if you've not got that deep into going beyond an app-based workflow, and you know, the Magic V2 S24 Ultra deliver a perfectly pleasant experience. You can live with it, as I have been for, what, 2 months? I don't know, when did I get the V2?
Quite a while, at least over a month, yeah, definitely. I think it remains to be seen, doesn't it, in terms of how long you stay away.
The cracks are starting to show. I imagine that probably by next time we speak, I would have cracked and gone back. But
you got 2 weeks.
It's been a fun fun experiment. I've enjoyed it. But yeah, I've come to the conclusion that I don't really need a phone that folds. And
the fact you've tried it, but bearing in mind your response to every folding phone I've reviewed and talked about on this podcast has been no, not in a million years. The fact you've actually gone to the extent of buying one, spending a decent amount of money on it and properly using it, I think is to be commended, really. And the fact, I think, like I say, it just remains to be seen how long you stay away from the claws of Tim Cook. That's the thing that I'm fascinated by. I think, yeah. We're going to pay close attention to that.
Yeah.
Rob, we're going to stop there because I think you need to go to bed.
Yeah, I probably do.
I don't want to be responsible for you losing your voice completely and being completely out of it. So you've done a marvellous job, though, somehow sticking with us through that. But we're back on schedule now anyway. It was an extended break because just stuff happening, wasn't it? Nothing big, just... Well, you've got a proper job and I haven't, so that's the kind of the reason. We have to, that takes precedence. Let's catch up again in 2 weeks.
The reason this is still here is because I haven't built my set yet, because obviously I've been bed bound. But yeah, no, I really want to lose this, because I've got a Sigma 16mm f1.4, and I think I've shown you the various like lights and things that I've got to try and make it look nice, typical, you know, background.
YouTube background.
Yeah, I just haven't had time.
There's all time, and I will sort this setup out at some point. I've got the space. So I need to do something with it, so it will look better. So, and I've completely forgot to say that if anyone is listening to this, do remember that we are now on YouTube. You can check, you can see us, you can see either Rob or myself looking ill. One of us normally is each time, so you can get to see that.
Yeah, don't watch this one.
Just if you don't, just still hit subscribe and like. That all helps. Right, let's. I'm going to let you get off, Rob, because I think you need to. And we'll catch up again in 2 weeks when I guess you'll be back on the iPhone.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we'll see.
Cheers.
See ya.